Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Well, so it is the end of another year, and it seems as though this one has passed rather quickly. Wisdom would lead us to ask, as the year ends, how did it go? Not merely in the sense, how did it go in my eyes? That is, did I make money or did I prosper? Or even, how was I blessed this year? But also, how did I live? That is to say, how was my life in the sight of God? To answer that question, we need to ask God to give us his Holy Spirit, so that we may see our lives correctly. Then we look into the past year on the one hand, and into the holy law of God on the other. And we say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Show me how you see the way that I lived during this year. Show me what I need for forgiveness for, and what you want me to change. What wrongs I've done that I should make amends with my neighbor and not carry with me through one more year." To ask God for this is a humbling and frightening thing. It is no wonder then that so many people get drunk tonight. Most of us have plenty to regret. And on top of that, the older that we are, the more clear it becomes that we are no better than our forefathers. We are getting old just like them. Our lives are unlikely to make the history books, just like them. And even if they did, so what? Famous people and successful people die just the same as people whom time has forgotten. Wisdom would have us not let a day go by where we do not take stock of our thoughts and our words and our deeds before the day is out, so that we may not carry one day's sin, one day's anger into the next, but bring them all to our Father in heaven and leave them with him. Very few of us, however, are that wise. We think little of the time that we waste when we are young, and when we start to get old enough to realize that life is short and that we are not guaranteed tomorrow, by then it is often too late to get back what we have thrown away. The lessons that I should have learned when I was a teenager, and which sadly, I have still not learned. I must still learn them. Who knows what good I might have done if I had learned them when I was younger? Who knows what blessings that will last for eternity that I threw away for the sake of ease on earth that passed so quickly? So when we go home tonight, and tomorrow, as the new year begins, it would be a wise thing for us to ask God to help us to examine the life we have led in the past and to guide us into those things that please him in the year to come. But all of that is a waste of energy unless we can answer with a yes the question that St. Paul raises in Romans chapter 8. He actually raises two questions, but in the form of one. It is a question, though, that we must answer. What Paul says is this: if God is for us, who can be against us? The answer to that question on the face of it is no one. No one can be against us. But that answer and the further blessings that Paul lays out at the end of Romans 8 belong only to those who say, not simply, if God is for me, but rather say, God is for me. So is God for us? We just celebrated Christmas. The baby who was born was called Emmanuel, God with us. His name is Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. God became man because God is for us. God is on our side. That is why Paul says, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also freely give us all things? But if it is so certain that God is for us, why do we still hear threats of his wrath? Or why is there a hell? God has shown that he is for us in the incarnation of Jesus. But most people do not believe that the baby Jesus is God in the flesh for them. They look at Christ the crucified and they do not see God for them. What they look at is their own suffering, and they do not believe that God is for them. That is what Isaiah was talking about in his gloomy words in the Old Testament reading. God was for the people of Israel. He was their God. They were his people. But they did not believe it. They did not believe that the way that the Lord promised to save them would work. So they did what they thought had to be done. If the Lord did not seem to help them, they then hedged their bets and started worshiping other gods. The Lord didn't seem to be helping them, so they made an alliance with Egypt and counted on that nation, the nation that once held them as slaves, to defend them against enemies that seemed poised to destroy them. And then when the prophets came and said in the name of the Lord, this is not going to work, trust in the Lord only, find rest in him only, forget about Egypt, the Lord is mightier than Egypt, he is all you need. The people of Israel said, we don't want to hear that. Stop telling us the word of the Holy One of Israel. Stop confronting us with him. Rather, tell us smooth things. Tell us that everything is going to be okay. The problem wasn't that they sinned. God would rebuke them for their sins, and then he would forgive them when they repented. It was that they did not want to quit their sins. They did not want to give up their idols. They were afraid not to make an alliance with Egypt. They didn't think that the Lord would be good to them. They didn't think that the Lord was for them. So they said, stop telling us what the Lord says. The end result was the same thing that it always is. God is for you. Because he is for you, he does not let our rebellion against him go unpunished. If you have sin that you want to hang on to, God is for you in Christ, but you refuse him being for you, and he punishes to call you back to your senses. Whatever your sin is, then, let it go. Whatever you have going on that gives you an uncertain conscience, quit that until you have a sure conscience. God is for you in Christ Jesus. If it is a choice between Christ and something else, choose Christ. If God is for us, what then? Who can be against us? No one. Would God hold anything back from you if he did not even hold back his own son? The answer, of course, is no. But we respond, I have idols that I keep returning to. Then repent and believe that God did not spare his son because he wants you as his own. The fact that you realize it and wish to do so no longer is, by definition, repentance. Jesus is for you, no matter what, but only sinners come to him. Who will accuse you? God has justified you. Who will condemn you? Christ intercedes for you at the right hand of God. Nothing can separate you from the love of Christ. We can be separated from earthly peace, from our lives and all the things that we have in this world, but we cannot be separated from the love of God in Christ Jesus, for no one can snatch us from his hand. That is the confidence in which we enter the new year. When we look at the law and examine ourselves, we will find sin from which we cannot free ourselves. Hope is in Jesus only, because in him, God is for us, and only in him. God is for you in the manger. He is not against you. God is for you on the cross. God is for you in his body and blood on the altar. This is certain, so certain that you know every week when you come here what he will say. He will say, your sins are forgiven, my body and blood given and shed for you. His name is the same name that was put on you in baptism, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It is the name that swallows your sins. The God who gave his Son, who became a man for you, who redeemed you, the God who calls you by the gospel, who enlightens you with his gifts and sanctifies and keeps you in the true faith. This is the God who speaks. And when he pledges his love to you in word and sacrament, do you think that he lies? Does he lie to you about the forgiveness of your sins, about his gracious heart toward you? Does he lie when he says that he is for you? No. So then, whatever evil things the devil and the world may say about you, and they may all be true, do not believe when the devil and the world also slander Jesus and say that he will allow you to be snatched from his hand. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. So let him be true and everyone else a liar. If he loves you and is not lying, then he cannot let anything take his love from you, whether suffering or your sin or the devil or the principalities and powers that hijack God's world, but soon will be destroyed. Nothing is strong enough to take Jesus out of the manger or off of the cross or away from you in the gospel and sacraments where he is for you. No one is strong enough to make him take back his words. For in him is our justification and the renewal of our hearts. In him, we can look at the past year and not flinch because we see our sins and the law through his wounded body. So look at the law and look at this past year, and then look at Jesus, in which you see God for you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.